ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रुण्वन्मूतिभिः सीदसादनम् श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। आत्मस्वरूप बंधुगण, सो इन द अर्लियर क्लास वी वर डूइंग द 11th वर्स, नाउ वी विल स्टार्ट द 12th वर्स। आई सपोज यू हैव कम टू द, मोस्ट ऑफ यू हैव अटेंडेड द अर्लियर क्लास, सो इट्स अ कंटिन्यूअस क्लास, यू नो। So you may say the 12th verse one time with me. Kankshantah karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devatah kshipram himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. See, today we have performed a small puja, etc. We are going to perform a small puja, but before that we have recited Gita, 15 chapters. We are going to recite the remaining 3 chapters after this class is over at 11:30. So the idea is we are celebrating Gita Jayanti. Of course, today is not the Gita Jayanti. It occurred some 4 days back, but we are celebrating it after 4 days on a weekend day. So I feel it is appropriate to say the significance of this Gita Jayanti. You know, nearly 5,500 odd years back, this book called Gita has come into the mankind. In fact, the age of Gita is very clearly understood and it is very perfectly recorded. And we have what is called almanac. Almanac year after year after year. And so we have the almanac for all these 5,500 odd years, year after year after year, we have the almanac every one of the years. And so the age of Gita is a very well established thing it is. And it was taught by Lord Shri Krishna to Arjuna before the start of a battle between two clans. So, and in fact, it was though it was taught in the battlefield in a way, before the battle did not yet start. There was some gap for the start of the battle. So at that time, Shri Krishna and Arjuna, they have discussed a few things relating to life, because human life itself is a battlefield. So there is so much strife and so much sorrow, grief, violence, disturbance, etc. In life there is jealousy, there is envy. What is not there in life? All kinds of emotional upheavals are there in our lives. And so life is a battlefield. And Arjuna was very much disturbed and agitated, and he finds himself in a very untenable situation. And so he takes refuge with Shri Krishna. You see, generally, when we have problems in life, our approach to solve these problems is somewhat based on ignorance, and it is very superficial, and we can never get a lasting solution with this kind of approach. The approach is, we want to manipulate the things around us and try to solve the problem. So, I tell you, when you face a problem, we are not in a position to look at the problem correctly. It is like asking we ask too many questions, but we don't know how to ask the right question. So similarly, we have many problems in life, but when we face a problem, we look for the solution to the problem all around us. We go to temples, we go to churches, and we go to Mahatmas or some godmen who are willing to solve our problem for us. So we are ready to pay a price if the government solves our problem for us. So we have all kinds of superficial approaches, but it never occurs to us that first we should look at the problem keenly, with all attention. Because even while you pay undivided attention of the mind to the problem, there will be an answer to that. All problems of life are like puzzles. So the puzzle is, where do you find the answer for the puzzle? The answer for the puzzle is found within the puzzle itself. Similarly, if you pay an undivided attention, an unprejudiced mind, if you focus on the problem and try to understand it correctly and clearly, by the time you make this effort, the problem, the solution is found within the problem. And in understanding the problem, if necessary, you can always take the help of a wise person. That is all right. But instead of skirting the problem, instead of escaping from the problem, instead of finding a very temporary, superficial solution to the problem, you have to look at the problem with a very keen attention. This is the message of Gita. So in Gita, we try to understand the human predicament in all its fundamental nature. And by the time you understand the human predicament correctly, a solution comes out of that understanding. So all problems in life are there due to ignorance. And we are in a big hurry to do things. We want to achieve things. The life is very superficial. It is caught up in very artificial goals and desires and fears. So we, instead of looking at the life in its totality and trying to understand the mistakes that are there in it, instead of doing that, we want to keep the life going exactly the same way it is, and then we want to improve it without changing the basic paradigm of life itself. So this is not going to help in any way. Suppose suddenly you get a lotto of $1 million. So even that is not going to change the situation of the person in a fundamental way. He may, after gaining $1 million suddenly, either due to a lottery or an inheritance, etc., he may live in more luxurious surroundings, but the basic structure of his mind, his thoughts, his likes and dislikes, his jealousies and envies, his restlessness, it continues to be there. And so he will continue to suffer. Instead of suffering in some modest surroundings, now he will suffer in more luxurious surroundings. Therefore, one has to look at the life and the problems of life in a very fundamental way. Then only life yields its secrets to us. And knowledge is the solution to all the problems of life. People have all kinds of false ideas. False in the sense, very incomplete ideas. Sometimes they may be true in a very topical way, but very incomplete ideas that their problems have their origin elsewhere, and therefore solution also lies elsewhere. And so a human being, in his folly, continues to try to manipulate the surroundings. It's like weapons of mass destruction. It's a witch hunt. So there is a proverb. In the medieval times, they used to have witches, right? Because they were looking for witches. So when you look all around for a witch, finally you end up by discovering a witch. That is like that. Otherwise, I hope you have got the point which I am trying to make. There are no witches. But you look for a witch, you will get a witch. So this way, our problems are like that. They are all witches. So they all have their origin in ignorance. So this understanding, it is given by Gita. This is the glory of Gita. Gita shastram idam punyam. So Gita is a shastram. Shastram is a body of knowledge. The word shastra has two meanings. Shamsanat shastram, shasanat shastram. So shamsanam means it enjoins a set of values. You can say do's and don'ts. That is shamsanam. You have to conduct yourself this way. You should avoid these things in life. You should not do this. You should not cause injury to any other life form. thou shalt not. So thou shalt do this, do this. Thou shalt not do this, do this. So this kind of a list of do's and don'ts, that is a shamsanam. And a body of knowledge which has connected all this all these do's and don'ts, it is called a shastram. But Gita is not that kind of a shastram. Of course, there are a few do's and don'ts in Gita also, and quite a few values are discussed in Gita. But Gita is a different kind of shastram. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this. So it's not a list of commandments or do's and don'ts. Nothing wrong with commandments. They are required for the human being in some time, some stage of life. But Gita is not a set of commandments. Gita is a shasanat shastram. So Gita teaches. It tries to remove the ignorance of the human being about life, about himself, about the world, and about the so-called God. So in all these areas, human beings have all kinds of wrong notions. All these areas means three areas. It's a triad. Myself, the world around me in which I live, and the God who created this world, including me. So this is the triad. About this triad, people have all kinds of incomplete and sometimes outright wrong notions. And so Gita, and all our suffering in life, all the restlessness, all the agitation, all the violence, all the disturbance in life has its origin squarely in ignorance alone. It is the ignorance which makes us suffer. It is not the God who makes us suffer. It is not the society or the government or the other people, other members of the family who make us suffer. No. It is our false notions, it is our false ideas, it is our false understanding that makes us suffer. So, it is the ignorance that is the cause of all sorrow in life, and it is the knowledge that liberates, that makes us free. So, we don't have freedom in life, really. We talk of freedom. Freedom means what? Freedom is to drive your car anywhere you want to go, or to read any book that you want to read, or you see any movie that you want to see, or you eat whatever you want to eat, you talk whatever you want to talk, if you want to jump, you jump, you want to dance, you dance. Is that freedom? Yeah, it is a kind of freedom. It's a physical freedom. And the government and the political system helps to provide that freedom. That freedom is important. In a despotic society, where monocratic rulers rule the society, so in such a society, this freedom is not there, and so people are desperate for such a freedom. But in a democratic society, where that freedom is guaranteed, there still people don't have freedom, that inner freedom, that psychological freedom. The psychological freedom won't come by manipulating the systems around. So it is like by changing the hat. What is inside the head is not going to change. You can easily change the hat. Old hat can be replaced by new hat. They say, in South, they say, the hat is a statement. You want to make a statement about yourself, please walk in into our shop and purchase the hat. That is, I saw a commercial of that kind in a hat shop. So you can make a statement about yourself by purchasing a hat from us. So the idea is, by putting the right kind of hat, You are presenting yourself in the most desirable way. That is how a hat seller presents life. But then life is something more than that. Just by changing the hat, the thinking inside is not going to change. So the thinking, the knowledge, that is important. That alone liberates person. So you can get freedom only by a correct understanding. Not by arranging a few things around you in the most desirable way, in whatever that way is, you are not going to gain freedom. The real freedom, the inner freedom, the psychological freedom is not there in the human being's life. People are too much conditioned by all kinds of ideas, concepts and notions and prejudices and beliefs. They are too much conditioned. They don't have any freedom. So no surprise that there is so much strife in life. Therefore, the inner freedom can be gained only by understanding of life. So, life can become a smooth, natural flow if only we stop holding on to life with a mind that is filled with all kinds of wrong notions. Therefore, Gita helps in understanding the personality, the life, the Godhead, the world, in its true nature, in their true nature. And that understanding liberates the person. When we say liberates, we are not talking of some mystical utopian thing. When we say liberate, we mean the freedom, the inner freedom, the psychological freedom, now and here. So, this is how Gita is to be understood. It is the greatest psychological treatise that was ever written. And so people are advised, it is not a religious text at all, it is not a religious scripture, it is not at all a religious scripture. I want to emphasize that point. So it has its basis in a glorious culture called Hindu Dharma, but it transcends all the boundaries of geography and history, and it is the most useful text for the entire humankind of all times and of all places. Therefore, it is very pertinent to remember the date on which Gita has come into human life, humankind, and so it's a greatest heritage. So great philosophers like the Western philosophers like Emerson, Carlyle, Thoreau, etc., they say that the greatest contribution of the East and the Orient to the world is Gita, not a Taj Mahal, not a pyramid. They have their own glory, but it is the Gita is the living philosophy, a statement or a treatise on life. So that is the greatest contribution that the Orient can offer to the entire humankind. This is how the philosophers of the West talk about it. Whereas in India, for us, Gita is our bread and butter. Gita is the incarnation of the Lord Himself before us. Shabdavataram we call it. So, you see, an incarnation need not be in the form of flesh and blood only. It need not be in the form of a human being alone. For us, incarnation could be in any form. A fish could be an incarnation, a messiah. Incarnation is a messiah. So this messiah is a very controversial topic in various societies. So in the Hindu philosophy, you are the messiah for yourself. That is always there. That is the Gita's philosophy. But then in a wider cultural context, a messiah need not be a human being. An animal can be a messiah or an incarnation. And a teaching is the real messiah. Shabdavatara, we call it. So, when we study Shankara Bhashyam, it is like Shankara is before us, guiding us step by step. Similarly, when we study Gita, it is as if Bhagavan is driving, he is in the driver's seat of this life, which is compared with a chariot. So, Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi, Shriram Rathamevatu, so, Buddhintu Sarathim Vidhi. So, in life, there is the physical body, which is the vehicle of life. It is the instrument through which life expresses its glory, and so the physical body is the vehicle of life. But then, the vehicle of life, this physical body, like any other vehicle which has to travel, it needs a driver, a charioteer. And here, buddhintu sarathim vidhi, it is the knowledge. Buddhi is knowledge, not intellect, knowledge. It is the knowledge. Of course, intellect is the seat of knowledge. So it is the knowledge which drives this chariot of life. So if the knowledge is faulty, something is wrong in your knowledge means understanding. So if your understanding which drives the life, because a person lives by the ideas, a human being is what his ideas are. If your ideas are all right, then the life, in spite of various vicissitudes, ups and downs, life goes in the right direction, in the desirable direction. And there will be no strife or no violence and no disturbance in life. But if the ideas are all false, life becomes a miserable thing. I see people all the time suffering by wrong ideas, all kinds of wrong ideas. For example, a person has a grievance against his brother or against his colleague. Now he goes and files a lawsuit against the colleague, and now He is worried whether he will win the lawsuit or not. And now he is spending money on that lawsuit. Now the lawyers, they take away all the money that the lawsuit is supposed to bring to this person. Even before he wins, he sheds, so he loses so much money. And so it becomes a big worry. And now he prays to God, "Oh God, you will help me to win this lawsuit." And now he visits temples, churches, and he wants the Godman to help him in winning this lawsuit. So it did not, it never occurred to him that he could have forgive. He could have forgiven his brother, and he could have risen above that greed in the first place. When he would not have had this lawsuit in his hand, he would have settled the matter more amicably, and he would have lived a very comfortable, cozy, peaceful life all these months or years. That is one alternative. The other alternative is be carried away by your intense likes and dislikes, be a victim of the greed and the passion and all that, and end up in a court of law, and now pray all God, so God give me a victory. So it is folly. A human being is driven by false ideas, and so he suffers. Whereas the right idea, the right idea means right understanding, liberates. And Gita is the one text that helps a person to gain the correct understanding of life. Human emotions have to be correctly understood. The intellect, the ego, the machinations of the ego, how it functions, and what is sorrow in life, why there is sorrow, what is this world, what is this plurality, what is this Godhead? Everybody talks of God as if he has recently met. Only half an hour back I met God, now I am going to give that information to you. That is how they talk. As if God is their brother-in-law, they talk. As if they have just now met, shaken hands with God, and God went that way and I came this way. I am giving you now the information. People talk like that. What do they know about God? God is not just like a parrot saying a few things. That is not God. So God is something one has to clearly understand. It's not a God. We should not convert God into concept, a concept or an idea. If God is a concept or an idea, then God can be only as true as a concept or an idea can be. Nothing more than that. Therefore, a correct understanding of all these aspects is very essential for leading a happy, peaceful life. And the Gita is the text for that. So, you see, in various cultures have various books. All right, all books are good, but the Gita is something very special. And people, it is a shastram, and it is a body of knowledge, and it is the knowledge of life. And it liberates the person, it gives the freedom, no one here. Why anybody should worry about the heaven? Why not get the freedom, no one here? If you want heaven, then maybe Gita is not the solution. But if you want freedom, no one here. Even freedom from the greed for heaven. Even that is also a freedom. So if you want that, Gita is the thing. Therefore, so I thought I should say a few words about Gita, because we are performing a ritual or a puja of Gita on this occasion when we celebrate Gita Jayanti. So having said that, now I will start discussing this verse. Kankshantah karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha. Kshepram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. You see, here Shankara has given a very interesting link or connection to this verse. We call Sangati. He says, Ishvarasya ragadi dosha abhavat. You see, earlier we have seen every soul is potentially divine. And you are the whole. You see, you have thoroughly mistaken yourself. You are everything. You are the whole. You are the infinite possibility. You have the infinite potentiality within you. You have to discover that and become free from the bondage of this world. And if you worship the Lord with to win the grace of the Lord, by which grace? I can gain this knowledge. Because, you see, suppose you go to a person. Suppose you go to a doctor. Now, what kind of treatment you need from the doctor? Do you want a symptomatic treatment, which reduces the pain then and there, temporarily, which makes you feel more comfortable? Or you can endure the pain for a little more time. Already you have endured that pain for some time. You can endure it for some more time, and you want the doctor to treat it in such a way that the pain will never recur again. The origin of the pain is treated. Which kind of treatment we need when we go to the doctor? Generally, we need symptomatic treatment. This is what I see. So, and a doctor is a good doctor who eliminates your pain immediately. Whether you become well or not, that is different. But immediately you should become comfortable. It is like, I see this commercial, that commercial, somehow I mention it, probably I mention it again and again, because somehow in my opinion, that commercial, betrays a basic lack of understanding in the human mind. The commercial is, some food items are shown, some very greasy, creamy, kind of very tasty, very desirable, attractive food items are shown on the screen. And then a gym is shown, where the person is struggling, he is sweating a lot, and running and sweating. And then it is said, you need not renounce all this wonderful food. You need not sweat like this in this gym, yet you can lose all your weight. Then a fat person appears, then that same fat person appears thin. This is the commercial. Any number of times, whenever you look at a TV, this commercial will appear. I come across a TV very rarely, once in a 15 days or once in a month, when I see, look at the TV, by accident, this commercial is there. This commercial, it is a travesty of truth. There is no truth in it. But then, you see, you may say, why do you give value to that commercial? It is some silly commercial. I thought first like that, but then somebody told me that commercial has cost to the person who has shown that commercial in the TV, it has cost him $100,000. That company fellow who is marketing this patch, you just put a patch here, you will lose all the weight. That is what he is marketing. And he has paid $100,000 for this commercial. That means he is not a mad fellow to spend $100,000 for such a silly, meaningless commercial. He is collecting the money. That means people are falling for that commercial. Otherwise he won't beam that kind of a commercial. So, what kind of solution, this is how we approach life. Is this the correct way to approach life? It is wrong way to approach life. So, do you want a symptomatic treatment for the illness? Or you can endure this pain or this discomfort for a longer time, for a little more time if necessary. You want, fundamentally, the disease has to be diagnosed, where the disease is originating, where the illness has originated. You get a perfect cure for it. Which is it that we want? We want only symptomatic treatment in life. The spirituality is no different. So, you are the whole, you are the divinity itself, and the God, the reality or the Godhead for which you are searching in earth and in heaven is within you, and you know it. And if there are some inhibiting factors to know this truth, if certain wrong values are coming in the way of gaining this knowledge and gaining this freedom, then you work for eliminating those inhibiting factors. You work for replacing the wrong values in life with the right ones. And then be free, be liberated. This is what Bhagavan offers. But then people are not interested in such a fundamental solution to the problem. As I told you already, the person wants to win the lawsuit. He is not interested in his own inherent or intrinsic divinity. I may be intrinsically divinity itself, but that can wait. Now I have to win this lawsuit against my adversary. Or I have this overwhelming desire in my mind. I have to fulfill this. If I am divinity itself, that can wait. So this is the human folly. Frailty, it is a human frailty. It is there. And so, as long it is there, the Bhagavan, in his wisdom, cannot shut his eyes to this reality. He has to address this reality. Therefore, Sri Krishna, Shankara says, Ishvara is available to give you all, because you are the all. But then, Vasudeva Sarvam, everything is Ishvara. And you are that Ishvara, this knowledge. If only you seek that knowledge, you seek that ultimate freedom, then you get liberated now and here. That puts an end to all the travails of life. So, why not do that? But then, people, they don't want to get away from their petty world in which they live. The petty small world which a person creates for himself, he doesn't want to lose it. He wants to keep it, and it is like the child wants to eat the cake and yet it wants to keep the cake also. In the childhood, I have seen many children, and my own childhood I remember. So my mother gave me one chocolate, and that chocolate, it is a struggle. I want to eat that chocolate, and yet I want to keep that chocolate. Therefore, I take it out, look at it, become happy, and eat a little. But then I don't want to eat any longer. If I continue to keep it on the tongue for longer time, it melts away quickly, and it will be over, and I will not have chocolate. And therefore, I take it out and wrap it again and keep in the pocket and touch it like this. Again, after a while, I want to eat it and I want to keep it. This is the conflict that goes in the mind of a child. We are like that children. While eating the ice cream, we are worried that it is getting consumed. So, we want to keep our pettiness, our greed, and our desires, our follies. So, we just want to keep them. We don't want to disturb any of them. While retaining all this pettiness, I want to gain the divinity. You see, it is not possible. So, but that is how human nature is. And therefore, when Bhagavan talks of Atma being the Brahman, it just goes above the head. It doesn't hit the target. Because the mind is not prepared for any such thing. Brahman can wait. Now it is a very silly attitude on the part of the human being. It's a human weakness. And Bhagavan is addressing that weakness. He, in his compassion, unbounded compassion, he accommodates this weakness. And he says, Kankshantah karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata. Human beings, they are, suppose here is a person, he is the whole, he is the Brahman, and the seeker is the sought. So once the seeker knows that what he is seeking is all himself, within himself or himself, then the entire seeking comes to an end and he becomes fulfilled. But he is not yet ready to recognize this truth. So, that reality, we call it Ishvara, we call it Atman, we call it the Supreme Reality, we call it the Godhead. Whatever name you give, many people call it the God, they call it the Truth. It all depends upon the samskara, the attitude of the person. A devotee may call it Ishvara, God. A philosopher may call it, for example, some of the Western philosophers, they have called it the thing in itself. I don't remember who called this name, the thing in itself. I think Emerson or somebody said, the thing in itself. Like we say the Brahman, the Vastu, the thing in itself. He doesn't use the word God, he says the thing in itself. He has his own reasons to say that. So, whatever name you give to it, that reality, that truth is you. But people, they don't want Ishvara. They want some petty gains, worldly things they want. When people want a heaven, that heaven is also another worldly thing. In fact, it is another other world thing it is. So, okay, you want heaven. What could be that heaven? You just give a description of that heaven. What could be that heaven? I tell you, a few ideas you put together and call it heaven. It may not be much better than Miami Beach, probably. Could be. So, some fancy, he has certain ideas of certain pleasures. So this is all a pleasant thing. And so those alone, they become the basis of a description for heaven. Therefore, in my opinion, heaven is also another kind of a worldly thing. And people, they want to acquire heaven. And people, they think that it is the action which helps them to reach the goal. Because for them, the goal is outside. Inside there is nothing. It is all emptiness here. So all goals are without, on the outside. And therefore, you have to perform an action to reach the goal. This is one idea. They don't understand that you cannot reach the truth or you cannot gain the truth. You can only be the truth. And that is by knowledge. They don't understand that. And people, they want petty gains, limited. The things that they desire are limited. They don't want this all-pervasive Atma, which is Ishvara. And they want something which was not attained by them yet. They don't want this ever-attained Atma. They are looking for something. You see, it is like Atma, it is such a simple thing, but it is there in life. Atma is the whole. But this person, he is not interested in Atma. He is interested in a can of Coke. It is like that. If you offer a child a chocolate and $100 note, what the child will take? The child will take a chocolate. It is not interested in the $100 note. We are like that. So we want karma phala, the results of action. That is what we are looking for all the time. And what we are always looking for something which is outside of us, which is something, the sought is always supposed to be different from the seeker. That kind of thing which we are looking for. Kankshantaha karmanam siddhim. That is the meaning of it. So the fulfillment of karma, siddhi is fulfillment. So kankshantaha, the desire, phalanishpattim prarthayantaha, Shankara. So the phala, the result of the action, they have a goal in mind, a desired thing is there in their mind, and that desired thing will make me fulfilled. And so I desire it, and that can be gained by action, and so let me perform the action. So, kankshantah karmanam siddhim. This is how human beings approach the life. This is the way we approach life. You see, life is a smooth flow. It flows, it happens by itself. It's a spontaneous flow. So, we try to hold on to this flow of life with all our desires. Kankshantah karmanam siddhim. And then, when we have too many desires like this, and phalanishpatti, the fulfillment in terms of gaining the desired objects, when that is there, then there are many obstacles in the path. You see, desiring is very easy, but fulfilling a desire, it is very difficult. Even a small desire can be the starting point of a long chain of action. A small desire is enough to initiate a long, long chain of action. So, sometimes the desires could be very meaningless and utterly meaningless. It could be like that. So, you see, I had a friend. he said, daily I have some free time. I want to utilize it for gaining some knowledge. So you suggest something which I can pursue this study. That is what he told. I told him, may God bless you. Generally people, when they are in job, etc., they want to use all their free time for some relaxation or some pursuit of personal pleasures or some family things. They don't want to rise to the level of gaining knowledge. So that intellectual laziness is there in the people. So on the other hand, this gentleman, he wants to use some time to gain knowledge. That is wonderful. So I suggested, you study Gita, you study Vedanta, some philosophy you study, so that will be useful to you. Then he said, I am not yet ready for Gita and philosophy. He has some funny idea that Gita becomes relevant only after retirement or whatever it is. He is not yet ready. Then I said, okay, when you are ready, you will study. But then now what I will say? I said, I don't know, you decide for yourself. Finally, he decided to study anthropology, M.A. anthropology. That is what he has decided to study. What is this anthropology? It is a branch of science. Of course, I appreciate it has its own relevance. So all kinds of social groups, how they lived 1,000 years back, what happened to them now. So these nomads, what are they, gypsies, what kind of lifestyle it is. So he wants to study all that. So, and he wanted to do MA anthropology. So immediately, you have online MA, Phoenix University. So he registered himself for this MA anthropology. And then started studying it. First month it was a little enthusiastic, new thing, you know. Like a new toy for the child, it is a new thing for him, new books and new notes, he was reading it. Finally, after a month, he is disenchanted with it. What is this going on? What am I doing? But now he cannot come out of it because he has already registered. It is again a prestige issue. So he will have to admit his own defeat. Suppose he relinquishes it. It is a kind of defeat for his own thing, you know. So it hurts his own ego. Nobody will say anything to him, but it will hurt his own ego. Oh, I started it and I could not finish it. Therefore, that self-esteem is the issue. Therefore, he pursues it. And he struggles and struggles and struggles. And finally, he gets this piece of paper where he is the MA anthropology. He is a computer engineer. That won't alter his... he won't get one extra dollar salary in office. So this way, people, there. Just I gave you an example where it is supposed to be the pursuit of knowledge, but what kind of knowledge it is. Yeah, MA anthropology may be a good subject. I am not saying against a particular subject, but for him, does he need it? Why not pursue a better thing instead of pursuing that? But then, frailty, thy name is human mind. So that is how human mind is. So kankshantah karmanam siddhim. So this is some people, they want to do something or the other. Chikirshavaha. They have to do something or the other. Doing. People are doers. If you ask a person, you do this, he will run and do it happily. But if you ask a person, you know this, he won't. He is not willing to do that. So karmanam siddhim kankshantaha. Therefore, yajanta iha devata. So, they start worshipping all kinds of gods. Yajanta iha devataha. Everybody worships his own idea of a god. Gods, you know, plural gods. Yajanta iha devataha. You see, suppose the idea is, it is a bit cultural and also it is philosophical. In the cultural sense, so people, they worship different, they think that they are worshipping different gods. And this is there in the culture. And so that is mentioned. And a statement is also made about it. Suppose a person is here. He is a businessman. He wants to make his business more prosperous. Therefore, what god he will worship? He will worship Lakshmi. And here is an athlete. He wants to win some medals, etc. by excelling, by showing some excellence in the play, in the sports and all that. So he worships Hanuman. Then there is another person. Somehow he thinks that such and such a planet is causing all the problems to me, and by worshipping this planet, I will become better. Somehow my life will become better. Therefore, he will worship a particular planet. And so this way, amazing, I tell you, people have all kinds of gods whom they worship. And you see, by understanding Ishvara correctly, and with a correct understanding that whatever form that I am worshipping, whatever name that I may take up for worshipping the Lord, they all finally reach the same non-dual one without the second Ishvara. With this understanding, if they worship, the worship is all right. In whatever name and form you worship, it is all right. It leads you to the goal, that yoga. Yoga, communion with Ishvara, that happens automatically. But you see, the person who is worshipping Yajanta iha devataha, here Shankara, he has explained that Yajanta, Yajante devataha as Atha yonyan devata mupaste nyosavanyohamasmiti nasaveda yatha pashuhu. That vakya in Brahmavidya Brahmanam of Prahadaranyaka. So that vakyam is there. So that vakyam he has quoted here. So the worship is, the psychology of the worship is like this. Here I am a limited being. I am so and so. I am a person. He never bothers to understand what am I. The question what am I, it has no relevance in his scheme of things. For him, the question is meaningless. There is nothing, the question doesn't need to be asked, and there is no need for an answer for that. Because I know what I am. Okay, you know what you are. You tell me, what are you? I am Mr. Johnson. So I am a citizen of America, or a green card holder. So my passport is this. So this is what he knows about himself. And for him, that is the gospel truth about himself. Over. Now there is nothing more for him to know about himself. Over. And then God. What is the God? He is worshipping a God. What is this God? So let me take an example. Say he is worshipping the God Lakshmi. God in the wealth, God of wealth he is worshipping. God of wealth he is worshipping. So that means what? This God of wealth, where is this God of wealth? God of wealth is sitting somewhere in the seventh heaven, seven up. And so that God of wealth, as I propitiate that God of wealth, anyosau anyohamasmiti, yonyam devata mupaste, anyam devata mupaste, that God of wealth is something different from me. I am different from the God of wealth, and I am a wretched, inadequate human being, limited person, and without some more wealth, I am nothing. I have no fulfillment in life. I desperately need some more wealth. It is like a millionaire. He met a deca millionaire, a person who has 10 millions, and now he feels himself as a wretched person because he is a so puny little person before that deca millionaire. I'm not saying billionaire. So that's why I introduced deca in between. So, and now for him, there is no meaning in life without a few more millions. So he needs the grace of the God of wealth. So God of wealth is sitting there, and that God of wealth has to shower his or her grace upon me, whereby I'll become more wealthy. And that will be fulfillment. As of now, there is no fulfillment. This is the psychology of worship. I am different. Anyosav, anyohamasmiti. I am different. The God of God is the God that I am propitiating is different. And that God has to give me something. And without that something, I am nothing. So this is the psychology. This is fixed. This is the writing on this piece of stone. It's a stone tablet writing it is. And now he worships. Nasaveda. Alas, he did not know the truth. He doesn't know the truth. Yatha pashuhu. He is like a cow. You know, pashuhu is cow. The owner, the rancher, he keeps a cow. The farmer, he keeps a cow. What for he keeps a cow? An Indian farmer. So for him,
Cow is a means of livelihood for him. The cow, it gives him 2 liters milk, and he keeps 500 ml for himself and sells 1.5 liters in the local cooperative called the dairy farm. In India, it's a third world thing it is. It's a wonderful system, it is a social system. And every day, he gives this extra milk in the local cooperative store, and they record how much milk he has presented, and at the end of the month, they give him the money for all that milk. It's a monthly payment, and at the end of the month, he will get $1,000 in his hand from one cow. And that cow is his livelihood. And so what the cow does to him, it gives milk to him. And now he gives, so what he gives to the cow, he gives fodder to the cow, he takes care of the cow. This is the relationship. It is like, to put it in modern parlance, it is like you scratch my back, I will scratch your back. That is how it is. Nasa veda yatha pashuhu. Therefore, this person offers oblations to that god, and that god offers, he pays back in terms of the wealth and other things this person needs. It's a shopkeeping religion. Nasa veda yatha pashuhu. So this shopkeeping devotion, so this is how Upanishad looks at it. Nasa veda yatha pashuhu. See, these ideas are all there. Sometimes some of these ideas, as I start describing them, they may sound a bit harsh. But then you say, I cannot help you, no. Whatever ideas Shri Krishna presents and the Bhashyakara presents, so I have to end up presenting them before you. So, nothing wrong here. Anyosa vanyoham smita nasa veda yatha pasuhu. It is not a condemnation. It is not a censuring. It is not that. It is not a censure. It is an effort is made to point out the folly of human mind, the human weakness. Our weakness is, we always look outside, look without. There is something outside that I have to seek and I have to get. That will make me fulfilled. So we completely lose sight of the truth that the real fulfillment is within me. The seeker is not different from the sought. That fact, it doesn't occur to us. And therefore, the Upanishad and Sri Krishna, they don't hesitate to shake the person a little, to bring this fact home. So Sri Krishna says, Kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So, yes, you are entitled to your folly. Nasa veda yatha pashuhu. So you are entitled to your ignorance. You are privileged to pursue your ignorance. So, you want to take yourself as a limited individual. There is nothing limited about yourself. You take yourself to be the body and you assume all the limitations of the body upon yourself and you feel empty and a puny, limited thing by ignorance. You have to know, you have made a grievous mistake about yourself. You have to know more about yourself. Suppose if I say this, the person is not ready for it. Okay. I don't care what I am, Atma, Brahma, etc. I am a person who is desperately in need of fulfilling a desire. Okay, you are entitled to your weakness, you are entitled to your ignorance. So, then you worship this God. And, Kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. If only you pursue that ritual or that action, you see, the kamya karma we say. Kamya karma and an activity. What is the difference between the two? The difference is very superficial. Like for example, I want to make some money. So now I start a small business and work hard and make money. And then I start worshipping the god of wealth. Goddess or god of wealth. What is it? And I thereby propitiate the goddess of wealth. Some example I am taking.
So I don't want to hurt any particular individual. That's why I select some example. But finally, even while selecting an example, I end up by causing a small disturbance in somebody's mind. It is possible, because the discussion is like that. So here is the other person who worships the god or goddess of wealth for some extra money. What is the difference between these two people? What is the difference between these two activities? One activity is a worldly activity. The other activity is supposed to be a religious activity. It is definitely not a spiritual activity. It is a religious activity. What is the difference between a worldly activity and religious activity? As far as the goal is concerned, the person's struggle for reaching the goal is concerned, both are one and the same. Kya badi baat hai? They are one and the same. So one person wants to go to Miami for a weekend, other person wants to go to heaven. What is the difference between the approach? I don't find any difference essentially. Only thing is, in one case, there is the possibility of adharma, possibility of wrongdoing, injuring other person. Whereas a person who commits, performs a ritual and goes to heaven, he is following the path of righteousness. He is not causing injury to anybody, hopefully. Except that as far as the greed for the goal, the pleasures of the flesh are concerned, both approaches are one and the same. Therefore, Sri Krishna, in a general way, he says, Kshipram hi manushaya loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. When it is the worldly thing that you want, it is not the ultimate reality is not what you want. It is the worldly thing that you want. Your goal is a limited goal. You are not interested in recognizing or realizing your own divinity. Just a limited goal in this world or in the other world you want. And so you are sure that you are different from the thing that you are seeking. You take yourself to be a limited being. If this paradigm in which you function, in which you conduct yourself, your life, in which you practice your religion, if this paradigm you take it to be the ultimate, it is fixed for you, then it's okay. You can pursue this paradigm with a sincerity, at least with the sincerity of purpose, because when you pursue with skillfulness, skill in action, dexterity in action, with sincerity of purpose, with devotion to the means, without compromising in the means, siddhir bhavati karmaja. You take up the means to reach the goal. Having fixed the goal, you now choose the means correctly, and having chosen correctly, you stay with the means sincerely, you will reach the goal. Whether it is making some extra money in this world, or whether it is reaching the heaven in the other world after death, both kinds of goals, this world and the other world goals, you are bound to reach. Action is bound to give its result. It will give quickly, kshipram hi. Indeed, you will get your results quickly. You work hard. For suppose you want to pass MA degree. You work hard, in 2 years you will become an MA. You want to make some money. Then you work hard, start a business. Why you need not even start a business? We are now hiring now, like that boards we can see in Walmart. So you go and work some extra time there. They will pay some reasonable amount and you can make some extra money. You work for it, you get it. It is as simple as that. Kshipram hi manushaya loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. You stop, don't worry. You see, a person who is committed to a goal, then he doesn't think of rest and other things. For him, reaching the goal alone becomes the main thing. And so he strives to reach the goal and he works hard. He has to show the sincerity of purpose and he has to show the diligence in pursuing the means of reaching the goal. Very soon he will reach the goal, no big deal. But once you reach the goal, you will be temporarily happy, temporarily fulfilled, but that fulfillment is going to be very short-lived. This is our experience in life. It is always an anti-climax. All climaxes in life are anti-climaxes. Marriage. So a young man, for a young man, marriage, he is waiting for the marriage. My goodness, marriage blues, this and that. So, marriage is a very special thing.
and now marriage is done. Now it is an anticlimax. And then children. So when a young man becomes a father for the first time, in India at least I see this all the time, he purchases 5 kg sweets from the costliest sweets. He never purchases that kind of costly sweets in a regular way, in a day-to-day way. He spends some extra money. If he doesn't have that money in pocket, he borrows without any hesitation some extra money. He purchases very costly sweets in large quantity. He distributes all around. Well, people, while taking this sweet, they ask, "What is the occasion, sir?" "I became a father." It's a climax. And then it proves to be another anticlimax. These goals, these worldly goals, which are attained by action, they are very limited in nature. They appear to be the real goals, the most important things in life, only as long as they are away from us. By the time we reach them, they lose their sheen and they appear very worthless. If not worthless, at least they are an anticlimax. It is like tourism. In tourism, so before you go, a lot of, it is like Bushkill Falls, Niagara, Pennsylvania, this and that. So you will fall for it, I tell you. You will fall for it. I was going around on this 22, up and down again and again. I saw this Bushkill Falls, Niagara, Pennsylvania. I go around seeing all the time, and so I saw this also. I did not fall for it. But then a second time I saw it, I did not fall for it. After seeing it half a dozen times, then I asked the person who was driving, "What is this Bushkill Falls?" I said. He said, "It is some small falls, and hey, it is not a big deal, but it is there." "Okay, leave it, don't worry. Shall we go?" "No, don't worry, this is not for us." So I did not fall for it. But again I saw it, and one day I fell for it. I went. I said to my friend, "Come on, let us see what is this. I am seeing this board all the time. Let me see what is this." I went. So we parked. We have a nice parking place. So we parked. So I thought, what a nice parking place they have provided. "Yes, let us go and see where is this falls around." No, there is a ticket office first. Falls is much behind. I thought falls is there to see. "No, you have to pay $9. Can you believe it? $9. Then I said to my friend, no, we don't want to see any falls. Ishwara, everything is Ishwara, let us go back." No, Swamiji, don't worry about $9. So he purchased the ticket. Against my advice, he purchased. And then we went inside. A small stream is falling from the water below. This is the Bushkill Falls, Niagara, Pennsylvania. I tell you, even if you go to Niagara, the excitement will be there for 5 minutes. And then you start looking, my friend and myself, we went to Niagara. Ah, what a wondrous thing it is, marvelous. Over. After 5 minutes, I saw my friend looking desperately all around. And asking him, "What is the matter? Where is the coffee shop?" So anticlimax. So the karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata. All the things that we achieve in life, nothing wrong in achieving, nothing wrong also in going to tourism and all that. I'm not saying anything against it. Nothing wrong in achieving, nothing wrong in going to places. Everything is okay in that paradigm. But we should not become prisoners of that paradigm. That paradigm is not the ultimate reality. You have to break the shackles of these petty goals, these petty desires, and rise above this pettiness and discover the ultimate reality within one's own heart. That is the all the fulfillment, all the happiness, all the truth of this entire creation is within you. You have grossly underestimated yourself. You don't know your true nature. Therefore, a human being is always advised to know himself or herself. That is the teaching. In that context, Bhagavan, he addressed this paradigm of performing a few actions for a few results, what kind of thing it is, he discussed it that way. We'll come back. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.
हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।